This is the Bookmark Podcast from Scottish Book Trust. If you love books and reading, connect with us at scottishbooktrust.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Bookmarked. I'm Ryan Van Winkle, your host. We are super excited to be here because what we're doing on Bookmarked, the podcast, is we're talking about books. We're talking about our love of books. We're talking about reading, and we're talking a bit about writing. We're talking to authors. We're talking to people like yourself who are fascinated by books, who love them, who read them at night, read them on the bus, who delve into the world of books and want tips, who want an insight into what the life of an author is like. So we're here to really, and I hate to say the word promote, but you know, that's what we're doing. We're promoting reading. We're promoting the book. And I don't mean just, paperback or hardback or Kindle books. We're talking about the word, the written word, nonfiction, fiction, sports, poetry, comic books. We'll get into that. We're going to go and talk to some of the great Scottish comic book authors or graphic novel authors. We'll be talking to people about sports novels. So we're really excited to be here and just going to pump you full of like wordy energy, get you excited to turn off this podcast as soon as you're done, boom, dive into a book. But don't do it yet. Don't do it yet because we've got a podcast to get through. You're going to love it. We're going to introduce you to a whole bunch of people. We're going to recommend some books for you to dig into. And we're going to have a conversation about the thing we love, which is reading. So let's just dive in. Here, there's something that's been really amazing that's happening. You've probably heard about it if you've been paying attention. Amazing thing happened at the Scottish Poetry Library. A really special thing happened. Somebody left an incredibly beautiful sculpture made out of a book. And nobody knew why that was here. Nobody claimed credit for it. They found it, started talking about it. And then slowly but surely throughout Edinburgh, little other amazing sculptures were appearing, incredibly intricate, well-designed, and lovingly representing a passion for literature, a passion for the city of Edinburgh, a passion for the writers of Edinburgh, and a passion for the institutions which, you know, work to promote learning and education and reading. And these were called, I guess, book sculptures. And to this day, nobody knows who made them. And they're currently touring. You might not have had a chance to see them. And they're incredible things to view in person. So they're touring around the country as part of Gifted, which is the exhibition of the book sculptures. And we got a little audio tour for you guys. So we were in Scotland's book town, which is called Wigtown, for everybody who doesn't know. One of the best, most wonderful places. We'll talk about that in a second. But we're at National Book Town, Wigtown. And Abby Kinnane, who's the curator of the Gifted exhibition, which is touring all over Scotland, gave us a little walking tour to share the majesty and the beauty of these sculptures with you. So enjoy, but most importantly, make sure to get yourself out to see the exhibition at some point.
So this exhibition is called Gifted, the Edinburgh Book Sculptures on Tour. So it's a six venue tour. Basically, we're about halfway through now. We timed the arrival in Wigtown to coincide with the Wigtown Book Festival, of course. We've got 10 book sculptures which appeared mysteriously to various arts institutions, libraries and other venues around Edinburgh across 2011. First one was in March 2011 in the springtime, popped up at the Scottish Poetry Library, which is where the story begins.
Here it is, number one. So number, what are we looking one at here?
Yeah.
These are incredible.
They're absolutely extraordinary, and I guess the sort of story of their appearance is a huge part of that. So this one appeared on a table in the library in the springtime, as I mentioned. It's a book out of which seems to be growing a small tree, which is entirely made out of pages of paper. You can see that they just layered up page upon page, makes up the trunk, and then it's got beautiful sort of spring leaves. And if you look very closely, there's wee birds nestling in the branches. And then alongside of the book, there's an extraordinary eggshell, which is the inside of it is layered with gold leaf. And strung in there on a tiny string of bunting is a poem by Edwin Morgan, which is a homage to Basil Bunting, the poet. And it refers to a whole lot of bunting birds, all the different types of bunting. So if you, the very few people who've been lucky enough to touch this, you can string out that bunting and read the poem word by word. But if you look very closely, you can see.
That starts off with a little clip that says it.
A tress of wings. So this is an extraordinary piece, and I guess it's one of the ones that as we travel around from venue to venue and driving over these extraordinary Scottish roads with their textures and potholes and lumps and bumps, my heart kind of jumps every time as I think of the fragile poetry in the back of the van.
What was the reaction for the Scottish Poetry Library when they first found it, do you know?
Well, I think they were very excited. They were also completely flummoxed because there was a note that came, that appeared in the guest book at the same time, which effectively said that that it was a gift to the Poetry Library, but it was signed anonymous. This has remained the case. We still, to this day, don't know who the artist is, although, as I mentioned, another 9 sculptors appeared after that.
Any ideas?
Several people have said to me that they do know. Personally, I feel like the mystery is at the kind of the heart of the intrigue of the whole project. I don't know if I want to know. We have had some contact with the artist. We know it's a woman, and there's a wonderful book that Polygon Berlin has produced to accompany the exhibition. In the making of that book, there was some exchange via an anonymous email address with the artist. But as I say, I don't know any more than that. I don't think I want to.
So there's 9 of them. Which one out of the 9 would you say is do you have a favourite?
Different days, different ones. But I have to say I've got a soft spot for the T-Rex, which is bursting out of a copy of Arthur Conan Doyle's book, The Lost World. So this one appeared to the National Museum. It appeared, one of the guides found it one day under the skeleton of a stag. It was tucked away there. A sizable T-Rex who's bursting out of the pages of a book, which it seems as if it's almost obliterated them. They kind of surround him in shreds. And again, if it pays to look very, very closely, if you do, you can see some wee snipers, which are all tucked in amongst the fronds there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, bows and arrows and stuff, yeah?
That's right, yeah. They're trying to take down this kind of gargantuan T-Rex who's complete with blood dripping from his jaws. I guess I like the playfulness of all of these sculptures, but it's just little touches like the if you look around the back of the... Around the back of the sculpture, you can see his tails kind of protruding out the back of the book. Yeah, I love the kind of the distance that this artist is prepared to go with her craft. It's like there's nothing, no stone left unturned, that all the visual puns are kind of followed through right to the nth degree.
What was the sense of, like, why the artist was doing this?
It started with the notes which accompanied each of these sculptures, and I guess I feel strongly that there's kind of a message that drives this whole project. One of the key catch cry for the project is this phrase from the artist in support of books, libraries, words and ideas, and I think it's even more specific than that, which is very much wanting to kind of go to battle for some of these institutions, primarily libraries, but also, as you've heard, museums and the Film House, the Writers' Museum, the National Museum, that they're in some way kind of imperiled at this time of economic cuts and some people not necessarily seeing prioritising libraries when it comes to spending money or giving them the support that they need. And so I guess here's someone who's wanting to lend her voice to the cry and say, you know, these are really important places. And I think it has sort of served as, this is the message is something that people have kind of rallied around, as well as saying, oh, aren't they beautiful things? Aren't they extraordinary? How does she do this? Who is she? All those questions. There's also been this idea that, you know, we are a force and we want libraries, we need libraries, we think they're really important. There's lots and lots of us. So in that way, she's really achieved something quite extraordinary.
Where do they go next? There's 10 of them, as people know. You can come and see them live and in person and get up close and investigate all the little tiny subtleties of these things, which we can't go through all of them, unfortunately, and describe, but they're amazing.
Next venue is the Mitchell Library at Glasgow. Then it will go on to Dunfermline Carnegie Library, and then finally home to Edinburgh, opening on Saturday the 24th of November on the eve of Book Week Scotland.
Okay, thanks, Abby. That was Abby Kinane, curator of the Gifted Project. Make sure to go out and find the exhibition wherever you are. They're going to be in, the Mitchell Library. They're going to be in the Dunfermline Carnegie Library. And then, of course, wrapping up the tour at the Scottish Poetry Library, kind of where it all began, in Edinburgh. Let's just say thank you to the mysterious sculptor, whoever they may be. And while we were in Wigtown, we had a chance to talk. I'd never been there before. It's an amazing place, and I've oddly enough been to another book town across the world in Clunes, Australia. They had just gotten their first ever, book town status. It was really exciting. It was a great place to be, and I was really keen to get in to visit Scotland's book town, which I finally did during the Wigtown Book Festival, which, you know, is just a beautiful, beautiful festival. Everybody should be really encouraged to get down there and see it. It's such a community space. There's loads of bookshops, beautiful little cafes, and of course, tons and tons of events that are really accessible, and you get to meet great authors. And then, of course, because it's such a small town, you know, there's a lot more of an intimate setting. You get to bump into people at coffee shops and bars and things, and it's really, really nice. So I don't have to evangelize too much about the power and the beauty of Wigtown, because we got a chance to speak to Jessica Fox, who's just got a new memoir coming out about moving to Wigtown as a stranger, a foreigner, an American even. You know, it's an amazing story. It's an amazing saga. And it really speaks to the power and the draw of kind of a place like a book town or bookshops even. You know, I think we all have spent, you know, hours, you know, trolling shelves and the comfort and coziness of that. And Jessica was somebody who had this image in her head, and she typed, she was working for NASA in California. She typed in Scotland, a secondhand bookshop. Wigtown came up, number one. So let's hear her story. It's really incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Jessica Fox.
Hi, my name is Jessica Fox. I live in Wigtown, which is the southwest corner of Scotland, in Scotland's national book town. And we're in the back of Scotland's largest secondhand bookshop, in my writing room, or what used to be my writing room.
Oh, wow. You worked in here.
Yeah, there's a desk right near us. Yeah, I worked on, there's a desk right near us, old wooden desk that looks out over the garden. That was my thinking space.
How did you end up here? Because you've written a book.
It's titled Three Things You Need to Know About Rockets. And it's the story of my journey from living in Los Angeles, working at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and coming on holiday in Scotland's National Book Town and falling in love with the place and meeting someone very special and deciding to leave everything I know and sold everything I own and came back. And the journey begins. It is a lot about what it's like living in Wigtown and how wonderful it is and the community that's here and the journey of an American coming to a place that's completely unfamiliar into a place so remote and trying to acclimatize and loving it and feeling connected to a place that really, for all logical reasons, they shouldn't.
It must be very interesting for people to get your perspective as an American living in a kind of, I mean, what's the size of this community?
I don't want to misquote, but I would say approximately about 800 people. And just to, my high school, where I went to school in Lexington, Massachusetts, was about twice the size of the town. So it's quite a change.
I mean, what was it about the place that kind of pulled you in, do you think?
I think that's part of the mystery of the book. That's why I tried to figure out. It was an innate visceral reaction to the landscape and the people and the bookshop itself. And then I had to figure out why. Why do I feel so at home here? There was really no fish out of water feeling. I've certainly had some cultural bungles, but otherwise this felt like a home that I sort of knew existed, and it was just a matter of finding it.
And you just showed up because it was a book, specifically because you'd read about it as a book town. How did you end up booking a holiday to here?
I found out about Wigtown because of the good old internets. So I typed in, I knew for a holiday I wanted to work in a bookshop by the sea in Scotland, so I typed in News Bookshop Scotland into Google, and Wigtown came up, and fate was sealed. And I believe in a self-created journey, so it was an impulse I had, and I wanted to try doing it. And I don't want to give too much away, because then people won't want to read the book.
So you're kind of basically a romantic.
Yeah, I like that word rather than crazy. No, a romantic. I would say so. Yeah, I think, you know, I do a lot of film and I do a lot of scripts, and I thought, why let my characters have all the fun? Why let them have the adventures? So I really wanted one.
And you saw this, like, this film, almost like a film in your head. You're going from LA. You're Doc Hollywood.
Yeah, I am Doc Hollywood. The real journey begins when the things that you didn't predict start happening. So although, yes, I had this vision in my head, and this place is very close to what it was all the surprises along the way that make the adventure. I've lived all over. I've sort of had happy feet with places. And there's a real sense of connection and belonging to Wigtown. And it's really solely only because of the people. I've been to cities that are just the same way, but it is rare to find a town that's so connected, but also respecting each other's privacy and letting everybody do their own thing. And I write about that in the book too. I talk about the difference between growing up in suburbia and growing up here. And I find suburbia, although fantastic in some ways, quite stifling. And there's no sense of the same expectations on people here.
That was Jessica Fox. Thank you so much, Jessica. Her book, Three Things You Need to Know About Rockets, is going to be available in the new year. Reserve your copy now. You can do that on the internet. Make sure to go get a copy. It's going to be something I think people are going to be talking about this book. It's a good one, and it's a great story. And thank you so much, Jessica, for sharing it with us. And Jessica, of course, like us, fell in love with the idea of Booktown and being around books. And I guess that's something that we're going to be doing for Book Week Scotland, the first event of its kind. It's going to go nationwide. There's going to be over 365 events in just 7 days, from the 26th of November through the 2nd of December. Everything is going on, and it's all about sharing the love of reading and kind of, I guess, capturing some of that magic that Jessica was looking for when she typed into Google books, Scotland, you know, like that feeling of that's what we want to be around. So let's hear just a little bit from our friend Claire Stewart, who's the reading development coordinator for the Scottish Book Trust. It's really exciting. So over to Claire to hear more about that.
For Book Week Scotland, which is from the 26th of November to 2nd of December, there's going to be a national programme of events, really exciting things happening all over Scotland. So, for example, we've got Val McDermid on Orkney, and here are reading from our latest book. There's a fantastic event happening in the Mitchell Library on the 1st of December, which will involve all kinds of exciting Scottish authors, including Mary Heatherwick, who's going to be doing a children's event during the day. Ian M. Banks, the M is important because he'll be talking about sci-fi with Ken McLeod, and we will have a big Future of Books debate going on in association with Publishing Scotland, with a guest debater, James Daunt, the head of Waterstones. So that should be interesting. You can come along and quiz James Daunt about what he thinks the future of books is going to be like. We've also got A Night in the Gutter with Gutter Magazine. They're doing a big event in the CCA, and they have author David Vann as their guest for the evening, along with some of the Gutter contributors from the latest issue. The DCA in Dundee, they've got some fantastic things going on. They've got a Book of 100 Hours event where they'll be making a book in 100 hours from scratch in their amazing open print studios. So you can go along, join in, watch them, and see how a book is made using some really interesting medieval techniques. There's going to be an amazing reading event on Friday, the 30th of November, to St Andrew's Day, for the reading hour at 11 a.m. You need to stop what you're doing and read for an hour. And if you're looking for something to do, if you're feeling a bit restless and you don't want to just sit and read a book, then come along to the National Museum of Scotland at 11 a.m. Alexander McCall Smith's going to be there. He's going to be reading stories to grown-ups. Larry Dawn is going to be there reading stories to little toddlers and babies. And there's going to be a book bug session for the really little ones to do songs and rhymes. Lots of great ways to celebrate the reading hour in libraries all over the place. Have a look at the Book Week Scotland's website to see what else is going on.
Could you give us a little bit more of a taste of what's going to be happening up north and outside of Edinburgh and Glasgow? Are there cool events that are going on?
Well, for a start, there's the 100 Events in 100 Libraries programme, which means that there's going to be events happening in every library local authority in Scotland. So literally, wherever you live, there will be something going on in a library near you. The crime author, Karen Campbell, she's going to be appearing in Bridge of Allen Library, for example. In Benbecula, Janice Galloway is going to be visiting the community library, Leona Clate Library, on the 29th of November. In Oban Library, there's going to be Catherine Brown, who wrote the Ma Brown's cookbook. She's going to be doing cooking and baking, broths and bannocks, and talking about her cookery books. The Duncan Rice Library in Aberdeen are going to be having a special collections flash fiction competition in the University of Aberdeen. So if you want to be Aberdeen's next great up-and-coming writer, you should definitely enter that competition and have a look at their website.
And what else is going on? If people can't make it to any events, or they're busy, is there any other activities? I'm told there's an exciting giveaway project happening as well.
Yeah, there's going to be a free book being given away, which is a lovely wee collection of stories from the My Favourite Place project, and it includes a new poem by Liz Lockhead and a brand new story by Michael Palin about his favourite place in Scotland. Alexander McCall Smith, he's written a story about his favourite place in Scotland. We've got some brilliant stories and poems from members of the public, and even a song about a mobile library van, which is really something special. You should check it out. And you'll be able to get that in libraries, bookshops, historic Scotland properties, National Trust properties. If you're on a Calmac ferry, you'll be able to pick it up on the Calmac ferry to have a wee read on the way to wherever you're going. So just keep your eyes peeled. If you want to know where near you will have the book for you to go and collect it, then yeah, you'll be able to find all the details on bookweekscotland.com.
Thanks, Claire. That is just a small starter, a little something to whet your appetite for the incredible, humongous event that is Book Week Scotland. Make sure to go visit bookweekscotland.com, find out what events are happening in your area, and go out and support them. And even if you don't have the inclination to go out and do something, that's fine. But take the time, November 30th, take that hour, sit down, read a book for an hour, you know, those kind of things. I mean, I've done it with, No Music Day. They're so valuable. But if you do have time and you're eager to go out and do something really exciting and to just dive into book culture, well, we've got a great event happening here in Edinburgh called Kalu Kalay, which is a scavenger hunt organized by our friends over at Inky Fingers. Here's our friend Rachel McCrum talking a little bit about what that project is going to involve.
The Kalu Kalay is an all-day scavenger hunt. It's related around books and poetry. It's for people to come, get into teams, race around Edinburgh, pick up clues which are to do with literature, to do with creating literature, writing poems, finding facts about Edinburgh, bringing them all together and hopefully winning a grand prize.
How do you get involved in the scavenger hunt if you want to?
Well, you go on the Scottish Book Trust website. There will be a link through to an Eventbrite page. You register your team. At 1 o'clock on Saturday the 1st of December, you come to the Forest Cafe at Toll Cross. You will collect a list of clues. There's going to be loads of clues. I think we're working on about 75 in the minute. So you've got 5 hours and they'll take you all over Edinburgh. They'll take you to different literary landmarks. They'll take you to libraries, to the Book Trust, to gardens. They'll take you to all over the city, and you gather as many answers around those clues. It might be things hidden in books, it might be things that we want you to create, it might be little facts that we need you to research and find out. You bring them back to Forest during the day, whoever's managed to collect the most number of clues wins. To give you an example, it might be perhaps this could be one where you get a location, and you get a shelf number, and you get a page, and you get a line, and you get a word, and you've got to take that word and maybe go and create something beautiful with it. And whoever creates the most beautiful thing around that word, that might be something that would win. So it's get your thinking caps on, get your creativity on, start thinking about words and literature and books and stories.
Okay, thanks very much, Rachel. What a great project, what a great idea. But remember, if you're not in Edinburgh, there are loads of other events happening out throughout the country. There's over 365 packed into one great week. Find out more about them on bookweekscotland.com. Anybody who's involved in Book Week Scotland obviously going to be super, super busy over the week. And so during those time periods, especially, and the holidays are coming up, there's shopping, it's winter, it feels like the days are getting shorter and there's less and less time to do anything. And one of the things that we wanted to start off with was just talking about books that are perfect for people who don't have a lot of time. I'm sure a lot of you guys are like that. So you might want a nice small book to keep with you during Book Week Scotland, because maybe you'll be going out and seeing a lot of events and things. So, you don't want to be carrying around War and Peace. You know, you want to be carrying around something slim you could fit in your back pocket, slides into your purse nice and easily. So, with that in mind, we spoke to the author Jenny Fagan. She's the author of an award-winning novel called The Panopticon. She's also got a collection of short stories forthcoming. She's listed some of her favorites, her 5 favorite books to read if you don't have a lot of time. That's her top 5 list of books. Here she is, our friend Jenny Fagan.
I just steal time. I'm permanently stealing time. I read in the middle of the night, I write in the middle of the night, I get up at 6 in the morning, I write with cartoons blaring, my son's cartoons blaring. So I find I steal a lot of time. But yeah, you do, each novel you look at and think, am I going to invest, a week or whatever it is of time in reading this particular novel? And I've been writing the short story collections, I've been reading lots of short stories, which has been great. So quite a few of these recommendations are from short stories or poetry.
Great, yeah, well, it's a great medium for that. And we're even stealing time now.
Yes, from the van.
In a corner of Princess Street where we were hanging out, we were doing some readings in a van. So let's have a bit of this, let's have a taste and let's excite people about some of these things, because a lot of people, they're also busy, got a lot of things to do. It's a very complicated, rush about world. So what would you start with? What's one of the things you recommend?
I'll just pick, at the top, I would go for The Sasanta Expedition by Joseph Ridgewell, which is a short story published by Bottle of Smoke Press in the US. It is still available. And it's about Mr. and Mrs. Pettingale, who go away and meet up with a tribe of head shrinkers who are still alive and actively shrinking heads.
Sounds good. And is it just one story? I love the books that are just one or two little stories.
It's just one story, beautifully made, a gorgeous cover, letterpress. So it's a great introduction to Joe Ridgewell's work.
What else we got?
I would say Mr. Fox by Helen Oyeyemi. I read that recently. And it is a novel, but it's kind of like revisiting these various different characters consistently throughout the book. Mr. Fox is a writer, and he writes this lover, I guess, into life. And his real life wife realizes that he's beginning to have a relationship with his lover, and then the lover at various different points in history actually does come to life, and the three of them meet up in various different places and countries, and there's other just really, really amazing characters that are kind of interspersed throughout it, and it's really experimental but really, really skilled and beautifully written. I thought it was really inspiring. I really liked it.
Sounds great. I've not heard of it. I'm totally embarrassed that I haven't heard of it because it sounds amazing.
And then next I would go to Ronaldo Arenas. I adore Ronaldo Arenas. He was a Cuban writer who ended his life in Hell's Kitchen in New York in exile from Cuba. And he wrote a lot of his books in prison, actually, because he was in prison for homosexuality in the 1950s in Cuba. And he would have to have his books smuggled out and taken to Europe or France, places like that, to be published. And this collection is called Mona and Other Tales. And Mona, the lead title story, is the story of a woman called Mona, who a guy who works night shift in New York as a security guy meets. He's out sleeping with lots of different women, and he meets this character Mona, and she seems superhuman, and as time goes on he realizes something isn't quite right, and he actually thinks that she is the Mona Lisa. He sees her in the gallery one night in the New York Metropolitan Museum, and he's like, I'm having an affair with the Mona Lisa. But what he actually finds out is it's Leonardo da Vinci, and what he does is he takes the form of this beautiful woman so he can come out at night and seduce these lovers, and he uses their energy to give him form for a certain amount of time, and then he disappears. And it's just a fantastically surreal story. Wow. It's really, really beautifully written. A great introduction to Ronaldo Arenas' work, and the whole collection's fantastic. So that's a really great one to just dip in and out of.
Sounds so good, so good. What else we got?
Revenge of the Lawn Stories by Richard Brautigan, which has stories that are like a paragraph long in it, and it's stunning, and it really set the benchmark for lots of storytellers who came after it. We've got lots of, you know, flash fiction now, and stories the length of a text or written on a postcard. Well, Richard Brautigan was doing that before everybody else. It's brilliant.
It's a great book. It's a great book. And it's so magic and beautifully written.
And the last one I'll go for is Tender Buttons by Gertrude Stein, who was a great surrealist and lived in Paris and had a very interesting life and knew loads of artists. And she just really, really does, you know, whatever she wants with words. And they use stream of consciousness and automatism when they were writing. And I just find the way that she uses words and disregards reality is really cool. I love Gertrude Stein.
Thanks, Jenny. That was a brilliantly quick interview for a lot of people who don't have a lot of time. One of Jenny's stories will be featuring on a forthcoming podcast of ours, so look out for that. Her work is amazing. If you get a chance to go see her anywhere in the world, go see her in person. But you don't have to do that, because you can buy a copy of The Panopticon. Everybody's been speaking incredibly highly about it, so don't just take my word for it. It is a very, very good book. And speaking of good books, there's another podcast out there by the Scottish Book Trust. It's hosted by the great Paul Gallagher, Book Talk. It's a regular podcast where, a group of people talk about a book. How about that? Paul's going to tell us a little bit about the next episode, which is one I think a lot of people will be very interested in fact. Paul Gallagher will explain to you. Here he is.
On Book Talk this month, we're going to be discussing J.K. Rowling's hugely anticipated and mega-selling new book for adults, The Casual Vacancy. Join me, Paul Gallagher, and The Herald's Phil Miller and Scottish Book Trust Claire Stewart as we reveal such nuggets as, if this was a film, it would be Mike Leigh meets Four Weddings and Your Funeral plus The Inbetweeners. Yes, if that's the kind of book chat you're interested in, download the next episode of Book Talk.
If you're interested in winning a free copy of The Casual Vacancy, check out the Scottish Book Trust Facebook page. There'll be details on how you can win a copy of The Casual Vacancy. Good luck, bookmarked listeners. Hey, everybody, that's our first podcast of Bookmarked. We've been so happy to share all of this stuff with you. Our next episode is going to feature loads of exciting material from Book Week Scotland, but don't let that stop you from going out and experiencing it live. Check out bookweekscotland.com for events happening right next to your house. Wherever you live, there's something going on. Go out and get into a book. 26th of November to the 2nd of December. I'll be hosting the New Writing Scotland reading happening at the Mitchell Library on the 1st of December. So do come up and say, just punch me in the shoulder and say, you've been bookmarked. I can't wait. So look out for our next episode of Bookmarked. Thanks so much for listening. And now's the time for you to close your ears and go read a book. Bookmarked is produced by Colin Fraser with music from Ragland.